Good morning. I'd like to start off by wishing everyone a happy new year. It goes without saying that 2020 was a very difficult year. And we're just going to spend a little bit of time reflecting on some promises, some words of scripture that are going to encourage us as we look back to Christ and we look ahead in hope. But this has been a difficult year, obviously. And one of the other things that I am finding difficult is that right now, in the church, there are so many different voices bringing so many different messages in how best to respond to our social crisis. And I'm not going to pretend that I don't miss seeing all of your faces in person, and no one here is under the delusion that this is not a difficult year. The elders and leaders of our church have made very wise decisions over the last year, and I am really proud of how we have responded to this crisis with humility, concern, and care. Last year, we had an opportunity to evaluate why we do the things that we do. Now, as I've been making that evaluation, I am coming across, of course, the grief of what we're going through. We know that there is something wonderful and special about the physical presence of those that we love. And anyone who has been in a long-distance relationship or lives far from their family knows this. We just went through a holiday where many of us did not sit and dine and celebrate in person with the people that we love the most. But we're also sacrificing, and we're doing something that's very difficult for the well-being of the people that we love. And as a church, we adapted and we made sacrifices, and I'm really proud to be a part of this church. Well, I need to go into 2021 with the reminder that the Word of God endures forever. As I sat and thought about which message to bring today, I went back to a sermon I preached a week after two very close friends suffered a tremendous loss. And I know that Pastor John preached on some of these verses last November, but I'm going to focus on them again because we need the message in them again and again. You know, it is important in this moment to cling on to the truth of God's word and his promises. It's in the difficult times we may find ourselves asking, you know, what is our hope? What gives us comfort in our time of distress? The book of Hebrews points us to the answer, Jesus Christ. If there is one fact and one fact alone, it is Christ alone is our salvation. This is an answer that is just as timely today as it was thousands of years ago when this book was written. Christ is central for both history and humanity, and one of the unique ways in which the writer of Hebrews makes his or her argument for Christ's centrality is to point all of Scripture directly or indirectly to Christ. Christ is the ultimate goal of God for salvation. Both history and Scripture are united in Jesus Christ, and before Christ, we had no way of understanding the ultimate intent of Scripture. That is, that Scripture points to Jesus. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1:20, "For all the promises of God find their yes in him, that is Christ. That is why it is through him that we utter our amen to God for his glory." However, in the book of Hebrews, we don't just see Christ in all of Scripture, but we see Christ above Scripture. The word better is used 13 times to show the superiority of Christ. According to the author of Hebrews, what Christ brings is not only better, but perfect and eternal. With these three words used by the writer of Hebrews, we can come to the conclusion that what Jesus Christ gives us are blessings that are eternal and they give us perfect standing before God. The religious system under the Mosaic Law was not complete because it could not provide a once-for-all redemption that was eternal. The reason we have access to this once-for-all redemption is because of who Jesus is. The book of Hebrews says that Jesus is far greater than the prophets, far greater than the angels, far greater than the great deliverer Moses, and far greater than the general Joshua. He is the great high priest, and unlike human priests who pass away, Christ can provide mediation between humanity and God forever. He is the true tabernacle. The earthly tabernacle of Israel, which was built by human hands, is a copy and shadow and points to Christ. The writer of Hebrews goes to great lengths to contrast the created things with the Creator, Jesus Christ. The author of Hebrews wants their readers and us today to evaluate what we have in Jesus Christ and not drift away from that promise. And I just ask, what are we trusting? And I'm going to just come right out and say it. If Jesus is the promised Lord over all things, why are so many of us acting like the temporary closure of a church building is going to be the end of the church? Since when did the church become something that can only function if it's meeting in large buildings for 60 minutes on Sunday? Is that the promise? Do church according to the modern North American megachurch experience, or God is no longer present on earth? Let's remember that the temple would have still been standing at the time at the writing of the book of Hebrews. And at the time, Jewish Christians who were being persecuted were being tempted to return to their Jewish religious identity. However, the Jewish temple was soon destroyed, and reminding them and us that created things vanish, and only a faith on the firm foundation of things that are eternal will last. The writer of Hebrews reminds us that there is hope of a greater world to come. We are strangers and pilgrims on this earth. Now, we should not become so just heavenly focused that we aren't really good here on earth, but we do need to live for the eternal values of things to come. The emphasis of the book of Hebrews is this: don't live for today, live for what God has promised you in the future. Walk by faith, not by sight. A.W. Tozer says in his book, The Pursuit of God, that every person must choose their world. We can't walk away from the book of Hebrews and not grapple with that question and that choice. So now we've sort of looked at some of the big ideas of Hebrews. We can better understand the passage we're going to look at this morning. And the great thing about the book of Hebrews is that although it's rich in doctrine and theology, it also does not ignore the practical aspects of our faith. I'm just going to read, we're in Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, a full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Now it's important to pause whenever we come to the word therefore in Scripture. Now the writer who has just made their case for the better, perfect, and eternal covenant of Jesus concludes that we are now able to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus. Now we need to step into the first century Jewish world to truly appreciate the gravity of what the writer is saying. The Holy of Holies was the inner sanctuary of the Hebrew tabernacle, a temple where God dwelt. There was literally a thick veil that separated the Holy of Holies from the rest of the temple, which we read about was symbolically torn at the death of Christ in Mark 15. Now, through Christ, we can boldly, with confidence, enter into the presence of God. The way to God is now open. It is not just any way, but a new and living way. New, unlike the old covenant, which is growing old and ready to vanish away, and living because Christ is alive. We can now, through Christ, dwell with God daily. With this new and living way, the writer of Hebrews gives us three invitations of how to experience the presence of God. The first is, let us draw near. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Unlike the Hebrew priests who required to wash the exterior of their bodies to enter where God dwelt, we must draw near to God with a clean and pure interior, that is, a clear conscience. We cannot fellowship with God if sin has taken hold of our hearts. This does not mean that we must attempt to be sinless before approaching God. Sin resides in all of our hearts. To understand how one comes to a true heart in full assurance of faith, we must always look to the blood and grace of Christ. By faith, we reply to our condemning conscience with the forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ. The famous pastor John Piper in a sermon had this to say once regarding this passage. The blood of Christ so completely covers our sin and removes our guilt that the conscience can rest at peace, not because we are sinless and not because the conscience doesn't sometimes accuse us, but because when it does, we by faith speak to it and say, I know I have sinned. It grieves me. I hate my sin, but I have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who shed his priceless blood for me to bear my sins and cover my transgressions. Therefore, be silent, O conscience, be at peace in Jesus. And because of that, we can draw near to God. The privilege the blood of Christ affords us is incredible. We can draw near to God. Not only do we draw near with a clear conscience, but we also draw near with our bodies washed with pure water. This is an allusion to Exodus 30:20, which required the Jewish priests to ceremonially cleanse themselves with pure water to symbolize their need of purity whenever they would enter the tabernacle and draw near to God. For us as Christians, we have an even more powerful symbol of purification, the meaning of which we must have experienced if we are to enter God's kingdom. I'm speaking, of course, of the meaning of baptism. Not that the water itself is pure and it washes away our sin, but rather what is being symbolized does. According to Romans 6, baptism, the going down into the water represents Christ's death and burial, and coming out of the water represents Christ's resurrection. It's an important step for anyone who wishes to draw near to God and have an assurance of their salvation. And perhaps you've never gone through the waters of baptism, and you've never publicly identified as being one who Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 6:11 was once a sinner, but is now washed, sanctified, and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. Now, I'm going to encourage you to get baptized as soon as you can. And listen, we will make it work. We will come up with a way that you can be baptized. Nothing is going to get in the way of our church baptizing someone who wants to get baptized. So I think I'm allowed to say that, but I'm pretty sure. No, we will make sure that you get baptized if you want to get baptized. And secondly, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We are also exhorted to hope. Hope is one of the major themes of the book of Hebrews, and as Christians, we eagerly await the return of our Lord to right all wrongs. Christ will redeem this broken world. He is faithful to his promise that he is making all things new. These Christian Jews were tempted to look back, but the writer of Hebrews is encouraging them to look forward. God is bringing many children to glory, and we are partakers of a heavenly calling. We have a cause to rejoice and hope, COVID or not. The Christian faith goes beyond this temporary earth to a place where all will be made right. There are so many within our church community who desperately need to hear this hope, and we can bring this hope to them without wavering, with full confidence, knowing that he is faithful and he will satisfy our deepest needs. This hope is called here a confession, which means it is a teaching that is assented to. It's extremely important that we fully understand and communicate well what the gospel is and what it means if we desire to produce hope among us. We should never cease to preach and study God's gracious gospel so that it will take root deep in our hearts when the storms of life come. We are still processing this grief. This past year has been a reminder that life is over in an instant, but it's also been a reminder that to live is Christ and to die is gain. The message of hope never changes in history because hope ceases to be hope once it is realized. You know, I had hoped my wife would get me a really nice, lovely article of clothing for Christmas, partially because I have really terrible fashion sense. My wife has much more sense than me. And on Christmas, I opened a present and there was this lovely jacket that is the pattern and it's the color that I love. And she got one that fit me perfectly. But once I received that gift, I no longer had to hope for it. I had received it. And that's what makes Christian hope so beautiful, but it's also what makes Christian hope so difficult. We know that greater things are in store, and that one day all of history will find its resolution in Christ. Every wrong will be made right, and every sickness will be eliminated. But in this moment, we suffer wrongs and we suffer loss, and so we hold fast hope. Finally, we are to verses 24 and 25. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet again, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. If 2020 has taught us one thing, it's that we can't do life alone. The Christian experience has been, and always should be, lived out in a community of faith. We need each other. We need to be encouraging one another towards love and good works. There will undoubtedly be times in our Christian walk when doubt, discouragement, and despair will creep into our life. You know, one of my best friends lost a son years ago, and he would be the first to tell you how important the church was in helping him in his grief. It is very easy to turn away from God when life gets challenging. Without anyone having access to our experiences, we run the risk of falling away from faith. And one of the most controversial aspects of Hebrews is the question of whether a true believer can walk away from their faith. But for me, the answer is this: we are sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ. And if a believer is drawing near to God, clinging on to hope, and inviting others to join them on their faith journey, they will never lose their faith. There is coming a day when Christ will return as judge, and we should be motivated to live a life that is pleasing to him. And one of the ways that we can serve the Lord is by serving his people. And one of the ways that we serve his people is by being involved in his body, which is his church. Now, this hasn't changed because of 2020. We still need to be involved in each other's lives to encourage them and support each other. And many of you are stepping up and working hard to carry the burdens of the families at Village Green. It's remarkable to me that this verse is currently being used to justify violating public health ordinances or a particular political worldview, or using it to demand religious liberty. And somehow, I just don't think this captures the exhortation towards love and good works that the writer of Hebrews had in mind. No, we cannot use this pandemic as an excuse to check out, but I've received countless encouraging emails, phone calls, text messages. We also had a lot of people put in a lot of time and energy to create our Christmas Eve service. And during that process of creating something really quite different, we had moments of real encouragement. People are using their gifts in different ways, and I would just encourage you to keep at it. You know, right now, the doors might be locked to this building, but the church is not closed. I hope and trust you have experienced Christ's salvation. God, in his wisdom and wonder, has been telling a beautiful story that has weaved its way through history and scripture. It's the story of his redemption and the gracious way in which he provides salvation and hope through Jesus Christ. The writer of Hebrews wants us to remember that Christ alone is our salvation. Salvation is not found in ritual or the efforts of humanity, but is only found through Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made. So I ask, where does our faith rest today? We have to make a choice. And I'm going to conclude the service a little differently today, and I'm going to read lyrics to a song as our closing prayer, and then I'll play it for you, and I'm going to hope it encourages you. It's called In Exile. I am an exile, a sojourner, a citizen of some other place. All I've seen is just a glimmer in a shadowy mirror, but I know one day I'll see face to face. I am a nomad, a wanderer. I have nowhere to lay my head down. There's no point in putting roots too deep when I'm moving on. I'm not settling for this unsettling town. My heart is filled with songs of forever, of a city that endures, where all is made new. I know I don't belong here. I'll never call this place home. I'm just passing through. I am a pilgrim, a voyager. I won't rest until my lips touch the shore of the land that I've been longing for as long as I've lived, where there'll be no pain or tears anymore.